Good morning.
Morning. Happy New Year. All right, when we consider the body of Christ, many things come to mind. First and foremost, we consider ourselves Christ's body or His church. The foundation of most Christian churches are based on this resolution that we are His body and it is His blood that saves us. All spiritual things that we possess come from Christ, which is the head of our body. 1 Corinthians 11:3. Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 14. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. The definition of body is this: the physical structure of a person or an animal, including the bones, flesh, and organs. The body has physical requirements it needs to survive. Sure, it can live without an arm or a leg, but what about the head, the heart, the blood flowing through its veins, the brain to give us thought and spirit? Every part of the body is important, but it is nothing without Christ being the head of it and His blood flowing throughout His body. Isaiah writes in Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that it goes out from my mouth." I forgot one part. "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. So it is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." And Ephesians 1:22 to 23. "And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way." The past couple of years, I was put in charge of passing out communion. It is a service that I don't take lightly, so I studied every verse that I could find regarding Jesus' body and His blood. 1 Corinthians 11:23. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, for which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' By doing this task each week, God shows me the importance of His body and His blood in a new way every week. It is a great way to start off the week. And by making it one of those rituals that we do when we gather collectively, it shows God that we do remember Jesus' death, because it gives us this life that is in His body that prays and worships together in His name and fellowships with one another to give us His strength." This isn't something that we do just to get it over with, or who's going to do it this week. It is in honor to our Lord and Savior. Imagine the impact these two tokens have on newcomers or friends when we have invited them. They might not have any idea about what it is, but because we remember Him in this way, it will plant a seed in their lives, making them wonder what or why we do, why Christians do this, because it saves us from eternal damnation. John 6:44 through 58. "Okay, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. So Jesus is our spiritual food, and a body needs food to live. He who believes in him does have everlasting life, because God has chosen and has drawn him to Jesus, causing him to believe through the Spirit. When we think about our physical bodies and desires for food, our spiritual bodies also desire spiritual food. When we are not making that effort to obtain what God desires for us, our lives become skewed or starved for the things of the Lord. We live in a rich area, but have you ever noticed the homeless people doing and saying odd things? It's because they have depraved themselves from proper nourishment, thus causing themselves to be mentally unstable. We are Christians and are not supposed to deprive ourselves from spiritual nourishment. We are a functioning body part for the Lord. And then 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? In fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there were many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that the parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it, for one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, each one of you a part of it, and the church God has appointed First of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret, but eagerly desire the greater gifts? And now I will show you the most excellent way. Now remember when Jesus fed the 5,000 with the 5 barley loaves of bread and the 2 fish? Well, if you haven't read it, it's in John 6, 1 through 24. I think everyone has. The story showed me how easy it was for our Lord to feed 5,000 people physically. He always provides our physical, or what our physical bodies need. This story also showed me the greediness that people can get also, desiring more of that worldly stuff that absolutely does not fulfill our spiritual desires our bodies are really craving. John 6, 25 through 40. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but work for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up in the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day." When we believe and walk in the Holy Spirit, we follow what he tells us to do, even if it sounds undesirable. There will be times when we question God and the decisions he makes for us. Sometimes they aren't what we expect, but his plan is for our benefit. Recognizing that Jesus is the head of our body, his will should be greater than ours. Take a look at David when he fled to Nod with his faithful soldiers. We don't know what types of conversations that David had with them, but we know all of them are followers of both God and David, and would do anything for either of them, even if it meant their death. So 1 Samuel 21, 1 through 6. 1 Samuel 21, 1 through 6. David went to Nod and Ahimelech the priest, or went to Nod to Ahimelech the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he met him and asked, "Why are you alone? Why is no one with you?" David answered Ahimelech the priest, "The king charged me with a certain matter and said to me, 'No one is to know anything about your mission and your instructions. As for my men, I have told them to meet me at a certain place. Now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever you can find.' But the priest answered David, 'I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is some consecrated bread here, provided the men have kept themselves from women.' David replied, 'Indeed, women have been kept from us as usual whenever I set out. The men's things are holy. Even on missions, they are not holy. How much more so today?' So the priest gave him the consecrated bread, since there was no bread there except the bread of the presence that had been removed before the Lord and replaced by hot bread on the day it was taken away. Now, as we understand it, David and his men went to the high priest because he and his men were hungry, looking for refuge. He and his men ate the bread of the presence set aside for only the priest. We have been reading about this the past few weeks, about what goes into the consecrated bread or cakes. These cakes were also referred to as meats in Leviticus 2. So let's turn to Leviticus 22, 10 and 11. It's just one verse. Two verses. No one outside a priest's family may eat the sacred offering, nor may the guest of a priest or his hired worker eat it. But if a priest buys a slave with money, or if a slave is born in his household, that slave may eat his food. These verses alone shows God's plan for salvation through Jesus and why David was allowed to eat the bread. David had to know these rules because he loved God and grew up serving him. God's word is our sustenance, and without it, we are lost. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Being purchased by God is an honor. Our body is now His. Studying and reading His Word gives us insight and revelation to whom God is and His desires for us and His church. Reading His Word gives us strength, and knowing that Jesus died for us to cover our sins is the greatest thing that has ever happened to us. Knowing that God loves us so much that He purchased us with His Son gives us that hope that is in Jesus. Without Him being our advocate, we were doomed. 1 Corinthians 7, 20 to 24. Each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you, although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freed man. Similarly, he who was a free man when he was called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brothers, each man as responsible to God should remain in the situation God called him to. And to conclude, we are the body of Christ, purposed in Him to do His will. Jesus is the bread of our life. No other thing, whether it be food, money, music, TV, movies, etc., will satisfy us, because we are His and He is life. And John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.